Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall, where we debate the top five sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Hall. 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall starts now.
Is there any way the Bears would have won that game if Matthew Stafford played? And did the vicissitudes of the NFL gift the Bears a victory?
Huh. Yeah, good word, vicissitudes.
Good word.
You know, the ever
I'll
the
be
changes
for a
the
definition.
Okay, I would say that was definitely, you could chalk that one up to meeting the right team at the right time. Let's just start with that. You know, Matthew Stafford is that team. He is the centerpiece of that offense. He's having a great year. He is the guy that you think of when you think of the Detroit Lions. And to have him out and to welcome in Jeff Driskel, show of hands for those of us that looked up Jeff Driskel before the game.
Google alert.
On Sunday morning. Yeah. No question about
did
it.
Did you remember him at Florida?
Once drafted by the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah, he did.
I know
that's where you remembered
it? Because I Googled him and I found that out.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. That's the sort of information that you learn. I think that is sort of what happens sometimes in the NFL, where you just, you know, it's never necessarily the opponent you're playing. It's who's available for that opponent. And teams that look on paper like you're going to have to deal with this or that, you catch them, and because of the ups and downs and the ever-changing aspect of the league, you find a team and they're very vulnerable. And this was a team that was already losing, and losing badly, by the way, in kind of late game situations, close games, and you felt like you could beat them the minute you heard that the quarterback change was there. Now, having said that, I think Matthew Stafford is a significantly better player, and I think he would have scored more points. Mm-hmm. And I think that if you just look at the field position that the Lions had early in that game, I really felt once the Bears took the lead, that game was over. I really felt that way. And certainly the second touchdown seemed like a bridge too far. And it was nice to see the Bears get a win, and I'm not going to question it. But, yeah, I would say that definitely – that was a gift.
Vicissitude. It is a change of circumstance or fortune, typically one that is unwelcome or unpleasant. So that's a very good word, and it's a good way to describe what happened to the Lions. Okay, yeah. You know, it's a good question, a good word. Look, this is the NFL. You've got to be ready for these kind of things, but the Bears were gifted, you know, Jeff Driskel, and I think that he became Wikipedia's favorite quarterback because everybody was kind of like, who is this guy? And you find out a lot of things about him, and you have... You know, I went into that game with skepticism that he would actually perform at a level that he did. I didn't expect him to be poised in the first series. I thought he would be rattled. I thought that this was a matchup of backup quarterbacks, and it wasn't going to be a commercial for NFL quarterback play. That's the way we talked about it on the pregame, and I don't think that it was something that you thought you would see. That said, they win this game if Matthew Stafford is the quarterback. I think that's not really going out on a limb either. This was the NFL's leading passer with a 10-8 career record against the Bears, averaging 312 passing yards a game. The Lions only had, and I say only in quotation marks, 357 total yards, 7 out of 18 on third downs. Both those numbers improve with a quarterback as polished and as dangerous as Stafford is. So the Bears take this. They will. Their defense learned from this. They can build from this. But I don't know that they win this game if Stafford plays.
Yeah, I also don't think the Bears win if Stafford is out there and somewhat healthy. Not even 100%. Especially early on. I liked what Detroit was trying to do with Driskel. Bootleg, moving the pocket. Novel concepts for Matt Nagy, if he wants to use that with Trubisky at all. I mean, you're welcome anytime. It felt like things couldn't get any worse last week. But if they walk in and Jeff Driscoll beat you. And it was bad enough. It was a one-score game. It took until the last play of the very game. That is setting an all-time low with this team. It would have gotten a lot worse. But this is part of the NFL. If Akeem Hicks is healthy this season, the Bears, I think they're probably above 500. And maybe they're still in some sort of a playoff race. But if you have an average quarterback that goes out, it's a big deal. And Stafford is not an average quarterback. So it was a gift. It was a gift from the gods. But a lot of things have not gone the Bears' way this year. The injury report helped them out yesterday.
Well, first of all, I mean, broken bones in your back. My God.
How about it?
And I'm sure the guy wanted to play.
Now he's day-to-day?
Yeah. He's a tough son of a gun, isn't old
Tougher
Matthew
than
Stafford.
People give him credit for being.
Oh, my.
Remember when
I
he
thought
was
you might
young?
Need some Kleenex, David. I mean, he's your guy after Friday. We talked about, I mean, gosh, you and Biggs and, oh, gosh, boy, talk about licking the boot of that guy.
I needed Kleenex because I was crying. He wasn't going to play.
The first 2 years, people were calling him injury prone.
Yeah.
Right.
And he hasn't missed a game in 9 years till yesterday.
Pretty nuts. Do the Bears win if Matthew Stafford plays yesterday? I don't know. You guys don't know. Nobody really knows. And it doesn't really matter because he didn't play. And the Bears won. And I don't care that they didn't look as great maybe as they should have. I don't care that they opened up Club Dub after the game. I know some people took issue with that. I don't care about that. They won. Go celebrate. You know, you look at some of the other results in the NFL yesterday, surprising wins for some teams, surprising losses for some teams. And going forward now, the Bears, I'm not saying they're back in the race or anything, but they're mathematically still in it. And I'm sure in their mind, they're going to win every single game that they're going to play for the rest of the season. It's unrealistic, probably not going to happen, but that is the mentality that they have to have. And so celebrate, you know, take the win. I don't care that Jeff Driscoll played yesterday. I don't care that Matt Nagy made a couple of more interesting coaching decisions. They came away with the victory. It's all that matters, getting back on the right track.
I'm with Kevin here. I'm in my 24-hour window. I'm going to enjoy this as a fan. It's hard to win in the NFL. It really is. This league is razor. The difference between these teams. There's a couple of elite teams. I get that. But it is the margins are razor thin.
How about Atlanta stuffing New Orleans?
Well, exactly. Okay.
Dolphins.
Perfect point. I mean, the Dolphins can't figure out how to tank correctly, right? You know, who the headline Sunday morning was after the LSU Alabama game. Who was the biggest winner in LSU Alabama? The Dolphins. Whoops. You know, actually, eraser. Bengals, you know, I mean, come on. I mean, so enjoy it. Club Dub open, fine. Listen, okay, take it. Absolutely enjoy it, okay? Who knows, you know, with Matt Stafford, you know, Mr. Tough Guy now, Matt Stafford, please, if he would have done anything except throw for 300 yards in slop time.
Wow.
Wait till Thanksgiving.
Well, I think that's
day.
A great question, and for us, it's pretty easy.
What did Mitch Trubisky's 131 passer rating and 3 touchdown passes say about the course of his season and, in a broader context, his career? What clicked for Mitch against the Lions after another slow start?
Well, they can turn the TVs back on at Hallis Hall, I suppose. You know, Mitch had a day that he had to have, and it didn't start that way. But I think you look at a couple things. Number one, I don't want this to become a weekly referendum on his career. I don't know that he can do much in the second half to change what we saw in the first half. And if you are convinced by some of the progress, maybe you'll be fooled into thinking that, you know, you can win with him long term. I'm not sure that we're there yet. I think you have to look at this at face value. He succeeded in the second and third quarter against the second worst defense in the NFL. But even so, the Bears only amassed 226 yards total offense against a Lions defense, giving up an average of 424. Still, as you guys point out, it was a victory. He was efficient. He did make some really nice throws. The throw to Broniker, the throw to Allen Robinson, who he kind of targeted in the second half. The throw to Gabriel was a good one. He did what he needed to do. I thought a couple things stood out. What made him click? Well, you know, when they started going with tempo, he is much better. And he said something post-game that was very interesting we'll get into later. When they increase the tempo, he doesn't have to think as much. He's just reacting. And that's a lesson for everyone to learn. And that's when he was at his best yesterday. When they were – the game, when it becomes faster, it somewhat slows down for him for whatever reason. And I think that's something to be taken away from watching him play yesterday. But I think it was one game. You don't want to get carried away. Don't exaggerate with the importance for his growth in his career. It was progress, steady, incremental progress, if you will, in his season.
I like the way you put that, David. I think that too much of our conversation about this guy is about the future, tomorrow, the next game, next year, 5 years from now. Let the kid play his season. It's kind of driving me crazy a little bit that everything is on him. I think that if you actually watch the games, the Bears can do a couple of things well. They're actually a better team when they're in the I formation and they use some play action. That helps him move in the pocket. Why don't they do more of that? And in the two-minute drill, that's when he is actually at his best. So why don't you speed it up and do some of that? You know, there's this conflict going on within Matt Nagy, I believe, where he wants to run his offense. He wants to call the plays that he knows will be, hey, you know what would be great here is the end around. We're going to trick everybody. You know, don't get cute. Don't be afraid. You know, don't get bored, as Dave Wannstedt has taught us. Just go ahead and do what's working and keep doing it. I think Mitch was badly done to by his receivers. Now, there were a few throws where he nearly killed people. He had a couple of guys that got hit badly, yes, because he apparently can't read a defense in terms of if they're playing a zone or a man-to-man. I mean,
is that guy going to knock his block off?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. There were two hits that I saw that Dennis McKinnon would have gone back in the huddle and punched him, and justifiably. Having said that, I counted three drops. There might have been four. And the Bears are leading the NFL in drops. So his numbers might be garbage, but the guy is, you know, 16 for 23 on the day. That's probably 19 for 23, right? I mean, that's probably a significantly better day, at least statistically, than it looked like when you saw it. So catch the damn ball. But again, maybe they're afraid to catch it because they're going to get clobbered where the guy's putting the ball.
Well, Ryan Pace says their young quarterbacks are going through this, so I guess it must be the case.
Did he say that?
Yeah, he did.
In the preview.
Yeah, that, we need to get to that later.
That's insane.
This was Mitch's best start of the season, and it felt like the Washington game a lot. You had this great stretch. You had three touchdowns in a period of three series, so at least you got that. But overall, when you step back and look at this game, okay, 7-3 and outs. The Boo Birds were out early on in the game. So I get it if you're not going crazy about this. So while it is, in my opinion, the best start of this year, if you put this with last year, in the context of last year, there were six games in which he had more than 7.5 yards per attempt. So I think it's an average start in his second season, first year in the offense. In the end, they put up 20 points on the board. It was enough. They're also outgained by Driscoll's offense by 131 yards. So you want to see more, but it's a step in the right direction. I couldn't see it on the TV film, on the TV broadcast, but everyone that was at the game was saying right before that Broniker touchdown, when he checked down to Cohen, that he missed a wide-open Robinson in the end zone. So you want to see him look down the field a little bit more. But it was certainly a step in the right direction.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, above average performance. I like Mitch a lot more when he's throwing the ball 23 times a game as opposed to throwing the ball, you know, 50 times a game. I think that's where you need to be at with Trubisky right now in his development. Did he miss some throws? You know, was he perfect? No, absolutely not. Are the Lions a good defense? Absolutely not. But you can only play who's up next on your schedule, and you don't turn the ball over, and you make a few good passes, and you run around a little bit. I know Montgomery yesterday, just 60 yards, but important to kind of keep the clock running and try to establish the run a little bit. I think Nagy's definitely improved in that regard, too.
17 carries.
17 carries, that's good.
You know what, though? Once you got the lead, didn't you think he'd get like 30 carries?
I thought he was going to go
off.
Yeah,
sure.
And they've allowed 166 rushing yards in three of their last four games.
That's right. That's a terrible team against the run. Crazy.
Bad team. And they won the game. And Mitch looked good at certain points. And, again, we'll get to some of the other stuff later with Nagy and some curious decisions that he made. But they won the game. Again, I got to reiterate that over and over again because it is a victory Monday, but it doesn't feel like it because it kind of feels like the Bears got away with one, or, you know, by the skin of their teeth, they escaped. Doesn't matter. Got the dub.
based on some of the verbiage this morning, we needed help with definition. So let's define. That was the definition of steady incremental progress yesterday.
Yes.
That was what that was. That was, you know, if you needed a visual of steady incremental progress, I think we saw that. The thing that escaped me, I had a seventh grade girls basketball game in the morning, so I missed the inactives. And we haven't talked about that yet, really.
Are you good against seventh graders?
I'm okay. I got a killer crossover against a seventh grade girl. But
get that stuff
it.
Out of here.
I'm about as tall as most of the seventh grade girls, including my daughter, who somehow got to 5'8 some way somehow. I didn't know that Shaheen was out.
Inactive.
So
healthy scratch.
Healthy
yes.
scratch. So
yeah.
That pass to Broniker?
Demoted, I think.
I thought that was Shaheen.
Oh,
you
no.
know, like in the moment,
he would have fallen down before he got to that point. No.
But in the moment, I thought, wow, good for Adam Shaheen. Like, this is actually a really good moment for Shaheen, Trubisky, Pace, Nagy. Like, there was a superfecta there, okay? A Bears superfecta going on. And then, oh, whoops, that was Ben Broniker. And that was the first I had heard about it because I was up to my eyebrows in seventh grade girls basketball until that point.
You raised a lot of great questions.
Are you at all concerned with the Bears' defense, especially if Danny Trevathan is out for an extended period? Should that group be playing better, or is it an unrealistic expectation given the limited number of points allowed?
Yeah, I'm concerned about the Bears' defense. I don't think they're playing like an elite defense. I don't think we've seen them play like an elite defense for a while. I like the point total. That's it. After the point total, you go through these numbers, and they really did not do a good job of getting off the field. I mean, you know, one of the statistics that jumps off the page at you is the Lions converting 7 of 18 third downs. That's 39%. So you think they held them to 39%. That's under 40. Look, that's no gouda when you're dealing with a backup quarterback signed after the season started. The Bears, by the way, 2 of 12 on third down conversions. So that was a disaster.
Yeah.
That was an absolute abject disaster. I don't like the number of yards. I don't like the way they're playing. I called last week for them to be more aggressive, and you thought when the quarterback switch came, okay, here we're going to see something. Now we're going to see them driving a knife through the heart of this team, and they're going to force turnovers. You know, it was great. That interception was a fantastic play, and again, the quarterback didn't see him at all. But Kwiatkowski moved into good position. He got the ball, and that was the difference in the game if you actually look at what happened over the course of it. So huge play, very important thing to get a turnover, but certainly not near as dominant or as many or as aggressive as I was hoping to see.
Standard's pretty high, so it's going to be difficult to meet. And I think you're right about the Kwiatkowski interception making a huge impact in that game. Look, you miss Danny Trevathan, you're going to miss a leader, you're going to miss a lot of intangibles, you're going to miss a lot of production. But it's at a position where they do have really good depth. And I think Nick Kwiatkowski is underrated. And when you look at his game and stepping in, he filled in nicely. 9 tackles, Roquan Smith led the team with 11. That is a very good position the way they played yesterday. Roquan's a little more active. I'm as concerned defensively with the inactivity, relative speaking, of the outside linebackers. I think Leonard Floyd and Khalil Mack were way too quiet for my taste if I'm Chuck Pagano. But I look at Trevathan's absence, and I'm thinking, well, at least you have somebody that you can count on. Nick Kwiatkowski yesterday, postgame, talking with my buddy Jeff Dickerson at ESPN.com, and he said something that's kind of interesting, made me think. Is Nick Kwiatkowski one of the best Ryan Pace draft picks? I mean, when you think of it, my initial reaction was, no way, come on. And then you think about his value and the way he's come on. It's maybe a 5-5 question tomorrow. But anyway, Kwiatkowski stepped in, did the job. I think he can fill in for Trevathan, and I think it's going to be a long absence because that was a gruesome injury.
Are they going to miss him at all? Absolutely. Am I concerned at all, rather? Yes. On a weekly basis, at some point during the game, I'm saying, man, they are really missing Akeem Hicks. But that's going to happen. Khalil Mack, where was he yesterday? I get it. Teams are game planning for him, but we've said that way too much this season. $141 million man, you need more out of him. But Kwiatkowski was fantastic. Can make the argument he was the most valuable Bear of the day, and he's probably a starter on most other teams around the league. The defense should be playing better, and they're changing things on offense, as we've discussed, making a healthy scratch, changing things on the line, but they need more because that's how this team is built. It's built to win with the defense, and they got one takeaway yesterday, so they win the turnover battle, and as you guys mentioned, end up being the difference in the game. They need more.
Yeah, they need more, and they just did have the one takeaway yesterday, but I feel like they're going to start coming here. You know, obviously, you're not going to be able to duplicate what you did exactly last year where they took the ball away so often. You knew they were going to regress a little bit in that regard, but I don't think that they would have regressed as much as they have with their inability to take the ball away this season. So I think they're going to be coming. I think the next couple of weeks you've got a couple of offenses on the table that do maybe give the ball away a lot. You know, I don't have a lot of confidence in what the LA Rams are doing right now in offense. Then you get the Giants after that. Their quarterback loves giving the ball away as well. So I think that those takeaways are going to start coming. You're going to see that a little bit more often. I think, you know, there is a little bit of concern with the Bears defense because you've got some guys that are banged up. But in the grand scheme of things, it's probably the thing that I'm least concerned about with this Bears team.
What I don't get, and Dan Fouts pointed it out yesterday again, is Khalil Mack not rushing the quarterback. He's back into coverage. And if TV did a bad job, and I rewound it with the DVR, that fourth and one play when the late in the game when the Lions got called for offensive pass interference, the wide receiver shoved 52 Mack, who was down in the flat, covering him instead of going after the quarterback. I mean, if you're not going to have Khalil Mack on a obvious passing situation, fourth and one, game on the line, going after the quarterback, then why is he on the team? Like, I just, that is maddening to me. I love Nick Kwiatkowski, okay, more than I love Chase Daniel, but this is the problem. Like, I think against the Lions, Nick Kwiatkowski was the perfect guy at the perfect time. I worry about when you have a week to game plan for Nick Kwiatkowski, what they might do to him. Okay, he's great against the run. He's a very good special team player. He's a good spot guy. But you start running some running backs and tight ends or, God forbid, a wide receiver, okay, and he's going to get a little bit crossed up. So while he played really well yesterday and his interception was key, right, that interception sets up a touchdown, boom, boom, boom. It was like last year in a time warp. I worry about him game planning if Danny T is out for an extended period, and it was ugly, and I'm guessing he's out at least till December.
That's a great question.
Matt Nagy made another unconventional decision when he declined a penalty that gave the Lions a chance to kick a 54-yard field goal, which they did, instead of face 3rd and 20 out of field goal range. Was this the right decision or another example of a bad play call by a head coach who has made his share of head-scratching decisions?
It certainly was head-scratching, and I didn't like the explanation afterward. And I don't know if dislike is too strong. He was wishy-washy. He basically was saying afterward when asked about that, he could see both sides of it, and you have to give Matt Prater credit for hitting a 54-yard field goal like it was unexpected. And I agree with all of that because it was really a chilly day and conditions weren't great for if you have never kicked in those conditions before, Eddie Pinheiro. But I think that Matt Prater is a veteran guy who came in, and if you look at his resume, he's 76% of 50-plus field goals in his career. So this wasn't that big of a reach for him to convert a 54-yard field goal. Here's what I ended up wondering, and we'll talk about this further. Is Matt Nagy, the head coach, have too much on his plate? Because at that point in time, is Matt Nagy, the play caller, already thinking about the next series? There's a lot of stuff going on the sidelines. It's a chaotic experience. There's a lot of information being processed, people talking in your heads, people talking in your face. I get why he would be wishy-washy, because that's a difficult decision, but that decision has got to be one made with a cool head. I don't know that he had one at that point in time because he wasn't locked in afterward explaining the decision and turned out to be a bad one. And a field goal didn't end up costing you that game, but it could have, and it might next time. So I do wonder if the head coach is taking on a bit much, and this is one of those examples.
Prater could have hit a 64-yarder on that. I mean, that ball was way up, and it was well through. I mean, That was an extraordinary kick under those circumstances. But you know what? We've seen that guy hit those field goals. We've seen that guy. Is he now what? They had a graphic. See, second or third in the league in 50-yard field goal. Like, you are baiting him into taking the field goal because you're going to do what? You're going to have better field position? I thought that was a terrible decision, and I did not like the way he answered it. I liked his demeanor. I thought that he did a good job at the podium, if that matters to anyone. I thought that he didn't seem overly, he was relieved to have won, but he didn't get kind of out of control. The fourth and one, man, that's nuts.
Yeah,
if that blows up on you, if your center quarterback exchange, if you were worried about holding or your quarterback exchange or all the dumb things, the reason you took a knee, then you turn around and do that. The problem with that, and it's real simple, you're desperate for a win, so you're going to do anything, and that's fine. You're desperate and you're going to do anything, but understand you're not doing what you usually do. You have changed the way you coach based on the fact that you're losing. That is scary. When you see teams do that, that means they are beyond desperate, and that's a loser mentality. That he's lucky that didn't blow up on him. So God bless him. It worked out. But I thought there were a couple of really strange decisions, and I'm still not convinced that he has figured out. I think I know what they're doing well. I'm not sure he does. Because it's not what he wants them to do well. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Matt Prater, clearly you could see it yesterday, a high ball kicker, and he made 50-plus yard field goals before yesterday. There are a lot of things that bothered me with Nagy. Again, where was the eye formation? Your team has shown you that they're successful out of the eye, and he doesn't want to run it a lot. Why are you running at the end of the game when you're guaranteed for 3 to 4 yard losses? That's what you told us. And my favorite was the no punt returner formation that we saw yesterday on special teams.
Oh, boy.
It felt like Nagy was outcoached again.
Dumb, 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 dumb. Matt Prater, as you guys said, has big leg, been around a while, good kicker. He's just giving points to the other team. Absolutely dumb.
I'm with you, Joe. I thought that was where they really got out-coached. Just looked absolutely inept, messed up, little league stuff. I mean, turn on the Bad News Bears music. I love the fourth down call. They needed that. I know we're killing them today if they lose that game. I know we're absolutely barbecuing
killing them.
But
that's
they
leading
that.
With your heart, not your head.
I know, but that's the type of person I am. That's not a shock anybody who's ever listened to this show.
But Dustin, you do that. You would do that normally. You would do that in a regular situation, not just during a losing streak. I don't know that he would.
Right, I would. You're right. Absolutely.
You know, that's a good question.
All right, very quickly, what did you think about the center guard swap and Mitch's comments about it? Should there be a switch back, or is it permanent?
I think we ought to listen to what Mitch had to say about that, because he stepped in it there. That was bad. I mean... That was the one thing I heard in the postgame that really bothered me, that he has this special rapport with Cody Whitehair. And Cody, don't be blaming this 22-year-old guy that just got moved out of the center position for your problems earlier in the year. That rang hollow to me. What if Chase Daniel had come out and said, what if James Daniels had come out and said, boy, when Chase was in there, things were so much better. I really felt like he really knew what he was doing. I could feel the confidence in his hands on my arse as I snapped the ball to him. I mean, that's kind of what he did. No offense to anyone. I just thought, Mitch, that was a bad moment for him. And you know, obviously, Cody Whitehair has not snapped in a while. We saw some issues.
Well, we know what assistant offensive line coach Mitch Trubisky thinks the problem was in the first half of the season.
There you go.
Because he made a change at the midseason mark, and he put in his center, and they still only produced 226 yards against the Lions defense. So I don't know that was fair to James Daniels, but I do think that Mitch may have kind of revealed a lot post-game and more than he wanted to. So I'm not sure if that move is permanent, but you really can't go back now.
Yeah, if you weren't sure before yesterday, before his post-game comments, now you absolutely know that this was a Mitch move. Everything they're doing is about making Trubisky comfortable, and he's clearly more comfortable with Whitehair at center and calling out the protections.
I mean, whatever works for him, whatever he feels more comfortable with, if it's going to help him play better, fine. If he thinks it's going to help him play better, fine. But as much work as he needs on the field, I think he needs a lot of work behind the podium, too.
This is like the personal catcher in baseball to me. I've got a lot to say about this, but sadly, we're out of time.
I hope that's a tease, because I want to hear all those thoughts.
I've been there, done that. Let's put it that way.
Cody Whitehair as Martin Maldonado.
I often forget he played in the league.
I'm using my own personal experiences. No, I already told, you know, if I had been 6 foot two, Olin would have replaced me after I had replaced Hilgi. Yeah.
He said that to me like 1,000 times.
I love that.
The thing is, I am 6 foot two. So what is he really saying to me?
And he says it without a hint of irony.
No, he's dead. Hey, in Vegas, he got up in the middle of a restaurant and started showing us pass blocking.
It was in the sports book of Caesar's Palace.
That's right. No, it was in the Gordon Ramsay's restaurant?
Right outside of Bobby Flay's. In between the sports book and Bobby
People
Flay's
are
restaurant.
Trying to pass by. Like, there's a waiter with a bunch of burgers, can't get by because Dustin's pass blocking. 312-644-6767. Woulda, coulda, shoulda. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.